a four-person discussion group, panel, relaxed chat, exchange of views. We're going to welcome Evan and Julie Farrell, Carrie and Marlo Shearing, and they're going to talk to you about happy thoughts or healthy thoughts.
Good morning.
Good morning, everyone. And we're going to start the morning a little bit differently. And we have a 12-minute excerpt from the Healthy Living course. And it's a tape of Happy Thoughts or Healthy Thoughts.
Everything are often unhappy. And those that have the simple things in life are often happy with what they have. There's a direct correlation between one's thinking and one's physical well-being. And so we have a saying that we use that explains the relationship, and that is that happy thoughts are healthy thoughts. The physical body is a reflection of the mind. And we're certainly well aware that tension, worry, other forms of emotional stress, which are reflected through our thinking, in turn affect the body. It's important, therefore, that we learn how to create a balanced, happy state of mind. We think of the physical body as being the temple of the spirit. This life force that comes to us with the first breath of life empowers this physical instrument to be alive, to be the vehicle for that power of life itself, the potential, the seed. And we've studied about that in the life analysis training program. We recognize the inner potential, the birth path. We have learned how the mind is created by the name. We've learned how the name affects our state of thinking, desires, etc. And we also know that there is a correlation between the imbalance in the name and the various illnesses, weaknesses that are reflected in the body. So we'd like to bring to your attention at this time the importance of maintaining a happy, balanced plane of thinking in order to engender the health and vitality in the physical body. I think we've all recognized the state of thinking of various individuals, those that are happy and gregarious and outgoing, and we think of them as being perhaps three-ish or nine-ish. On the other hand, we recognize people that are sort of down in the mouth. They're always sort of either in a mood or they're just pessimistic, don't have any optimism. It's so important to understand that the vibration of thought flowing through one's thinking, through the brain cells, through the nervous system, also affects every single cell in the body. It's as if you have a gong or a triangle. You take a hammer and you bang that gong, and the whole piece of metal vibrates. Every molecule in that piece of metal is affected by that sound vibration going throughout the entire piece of metal. And in the same way, when we think a happy thought or an unhappy thought, the vibration of that thought goes through every cell in our body. And so unhappy thoughts can make us depressed, can make us sick, can make us very despondent, affect us in so many different ways. Whereas a happy thought is a positive thought. It engenders the upliftment of the mind and body. You might think of it as the accounting system of debits and credits, or assets and liability. Every happy thought is an asset. It builds. It gives you strength. It gives you power. But a negative thought, a destructive thought, takes away from the overall vitality. It takes away from the strength and vitality. We'd like to teach you to understand the difference between a happy thought and a destructive thought. What is a happy thought? Happy thoughts are thoughts that give expression to that inner power. It's a giving quality, a light, expressive quality of understanding, of just being outwardly giving to others or giving back to life. How can we maintain happy thoughts? By living outside of ourselves, so to speak. When we're worried about, well, moods, irritations, if we're jealous, any of those negative, self-oriented thoughts tend to depress us, tend to make us self-centered. Happy thoughts are thoughts that are free of self, free from the limitation of pettiness. Maintaining happy thoughts is a state of mind, again. It's like playing the piano. As long as you keep playing the piano, you are producing music, and you can select the music that you want to play, etc. As long as you are happy within yourself, as long as you are giving expression to your higher self, then you can be happy in whatever you do. A simple chore, even a tedious job that you have to do, it's all in the attitude. You can still play happy music in your thinking, and you can get the job done. It's a lot more enjoyable, but it's a matter of control, where you maintain your thinking as you want it to be. If you want to be happy, you can be happy. But so many people have no control over their thinking. Their thinking is how they feel, and they have not been taught to properly control their feelings. And so to maintain our happy thoughts, we must maintain our happy feeling. Maintaining happy feelings is a reflection of our state of thinking. And so maybe we face a situation, someone says something, some situation develops where the tendency is to feel depressed, blue, self, hurt. Now that's a feeling. We can either give way to the feeling and feel blue and go into a mood and walk off by ourselves and, as we say about the seven quality, go into the garden and eat worms. Or we can take control of our thinking. And we can put a smile on our face, and we can generate a happy feeling within our solar plexus, whistle a happy tune. We can do many things that generate the positive response of feeling, which will go through our entire body, which will reflect controlled, happy thinking. Like a business that's starting to lose money, and it goes out and it works hard to generate some more sales to get a positive cash flow and develop its credits or the balance of assets. When we start losing our mental control and become depressed and heavy and sorry for ourselves, we just have to work hard and we can be happy. And it's maintaining that happy state of mind that is a key to balanced living. Because one cannot maintain the balance in their life if their thinking is swayed by how they feel. It must be the other way around. We must feel as according to how we think. And if we think happy, balanced, constructive thoughts, we will feel happy, balanced, and constructive. And our life will reflect that happiness. And the whole key is learning how to control your feelings. It's unfortunate that the lack of understanding of this principle results in children being given unbalanced names, maybe sensitive names, where they are easily hurt and they feel hurt. And so they reflect that hurt, and they're a moody child or a recalcitrant child, a belligerent child, because they feel antagonistic, and so much unhappiness. All as a result of that lack of understanding of how to control happy thoughts. Again, many surnames create that background of lack of expression, lack of fulfillment, the general lack of coordination with that power within, and frustration develops. And so they express their frustration in discordant feelings. And that's why parents have such a very challenging job to create the environment as their children grow, that they grow up in a happy environment, that there's singing, there's laughing, there's seriousness, and there's responsibility, but it's a fun time. And the parents have to exemplify that positive mental state of happy thinking. So the children grow up in that state of mind, and they learn how to always be happy. If children grow up in a moody household, even though they may have a happy name, so to speak, they still will reflect the example of moody thinking or belligerent thinking or argumentativeness. And that's not good. Because every one of those negative thoughts tears the cellular balance apart. We talk about people that are high-pressured business people, for instance, and they have their ulcers. Or someone has a heart attack because of some serious experience. They're frightened or depressed, whatever. Some people get so depressed they jump off the bridge. And that really affects the body, I'll tell you. So happy thoughts are thoughts that generate good health. They generate a sense of well-being. They create the base from which the mind can continue to grow constructively and positively. It's like a person that skips school, they don't learn anything. Well, they may have experiences, but they don't learn their lessons. When we're in our moods and lost in our self feelings, we don't grow correctly, mentally or spiritually. It's important that we keep that happy state of mind, like we are in the school of life, learning our constructive lessons, learning how to build a happy life, reflecting constructive growth, representing the attainment of our ideals and the fulfillment of our true inner purpose.
Wasn't that excellent? And this morning, we could just say, that was really good. But instead, we're going to take a step backwards and discuss some of the concepts of thinking and man's purpose. Because we all know that as philosophers, life is a journey, and we're all working towards being that happy person always. So we're going to start with the first question, which is, man has the principles of aerodynamics, computers, all based on mathematics, but lacks the principle of mind. What does the Kabbalarian philosophy teach as a basic principle of mind?
And we're privileged to have the understanding of the five basic truths, that we have that recognition of mathematics, language, name, mind, and consciousness. And with that knowledge, first of all, we have the privilege of balancing our name so that we have that clear channel or connection between our connection with the inner potential and our outer expression. We have the knowledge of what that inner potential is or birth path, again through a definition of mathematics, that from the month, day, and year of birth, we can actually reduce that to a mathematical formula and know that our spiritual potential is that of any one of those qualities of 1 to 9 with the various groups and minor lessons. But with just even that knowledge, we have a very clear set of tools to go back and look and think, are we happy according to what that development of our mind and life should be? Are our thoughts and our general state of peace allowing us to have that continual progress forward in an evolution of a clearer state?
If we were to go back to the very first lesson that we had in life analysis training, we find that the whole process of understanding mind and how it's created is an awakening of our connection to a universal principle. And as we go through our life lessons in life analysis training, we're learning how mind is actually created, and we're learning where the source of thought actually comes from. At the same time as we go through our lessons in that class, we also learn the positive and negative qualities of each of the numbers, and those numbers expressed in our lives in various different times relative to the names that we have or the cycle that we're in or the experiences that we're having. And through that awareness, then we become conscious of what constructive actually is, what the source or the pure essence of a constructive quality actually is relative to our own expression. So when we study our lessons in life analysis training, we're developing an awareness of what good looks like. The average person thinks they know, basically feels that they know, what good really is. You know, it might be a ride on a fast bike, or in some of the poorer choices, perhaps it's a thrill of some experience in drugs or alcohol or whatever, wherever the mind will, basically the emotions will try to find an avenue of respite from the concerns of life. But as a student of Kablerian philosophy, we have the opportunity to create an awareness within our mind, a conscious awareness. And through the lessons in learning what the constructive qualities are, then we're able to create experiences, and we'll get into this later on in our discussion this morning, of how we can create an opportunity or an experience that will add value to our life, to then change the process of responding to feeling rather than creating an experience that creates a feeling of satisfaction or contentment or that which brings the joy of service. And so the opportunity in the Kablerian philosophy and understanding at the very basic level the qualities of mind and how mind is created and the origin of thought gives us a great opportunity and an amazing tool in understanding how to create anything, really, including happiness within our lives.
Well, going back to the very basic mathematics, you have this universe that's been created for whatever reason. we're part of it, and we're an expression of it, and you can see how reason is expressing in two basic ways. Is first of all, you have the universe, and you have the planets, and you have life as it exists, which mankind didn't have any part of. He's a product of it. The animals, species, trees, you name it. And then you have this part of the world which was created by mankind, and the way that reason expresses in life is through this mathematical principle, and it affects every aspect of life, and everything that comes into being is mathematical. You know, the point of mankind being emanating at a speed of vibration, evidenced by a person's aura or the quality of their thinking denotes how they address themselves and how they appear, how their physical body responds to their thinking, and so on. You can see different things like that in individuals. So you have this this power of reason that's expressing through form and dimension, and mankind is using his intellect to create from this source of reason. So we look at all the world, all the construction that's gone on, and spaceships into space, and all the different things that man has been able to create by utilizing his mind to bring reason into consciousness. So mankind has a very vital role to play. And it's like, to our knowledge, it's the ultimate role in life is to bring this conscious expression to be a part of life, which completes the picture of life, the full spectrum of life. And for mankind to first of all realize that there's a principle of life, and then understand the steps that are required to get there, as we teach in five basic steps to human mental development and so on, requires mental effort and study and application to be able to reach that level, to the point where we actually become the principle. We understand the principle, the basic principle of life, so well that we become part of it. And you take someone that goes into school in grade 1, they don't know very much. They get to grade 12, they go to university, they learn more and more, as they more experience in life as they get older, and they develop into having a concept of life. And in the same way, when we first start out in the philosophy, we don't know very much, but we gradually get to understand this universal principle to a greater degree, to the point where we basically mentally merge with that plane of thinking, and add to it and create a greater awareness of consciousness.
So the first step is the balanced name, and then the objective is the balanced thinking, and that comes through the learning and then the application of the laws of life. And in this course, it's healthy living, so it's the principles of diet and breathing, right living. But there's a lot of principles that man has to then, as the panel said, become aware of, and it's in your application that your mind grows and evolves and the confidence comes. How are thoughts things? How do the thoughts we think create our lives?
Well, every single thing that we do is connected to a thought. Back at question one, when we're looking at the expression of intelligence in life, like basically what we're learning is how we integrate with this intelligent power in life. And as our minds become aware of the fact that there is this abstract power of intelligence, we gain an awareness of the fact that the human mind is the only vehicle that has the ability to bring abstract phenomena into finite reality. And that is done through the process of thought. Every single thing that is on the face of the earth is basically a reflection of an abstract power. And it becomes a part of life at its awakening. And that awakening happens through a basic principle. It's a union of the positive and negative principle in life. So as life unfolds, it is an expression of that universal principle. And our mind works exactly the same way. It's not the same way in terms of like sticking your head in the dirt and think it's going to grow like you do with a seed, but the thought actually is a seed. It is an awareness, and that awareness will grow. And so as we think, we are bringing abstract qualities of intelligence into finite expression within life. And that applies in all levels. And basically, we're trying to understand the intelligence of life and how to create health through creating happy thoughts or happy, balanced thinking. It can be a simple thing like knowing you should drink 8 or 10 glasses of water a day. That's intelligence. It can be just the same as thinking, well, gee, if I put so many teaspoons of sugar in my coffee every single day and I have 10 cups of coffee a day or whatever you drink, in a year, you've got a big pile of sugar. That's intelligence. So at the same time, if we also use that same principle of thinking, I want to think a thought that makes me feel relaxed. And we're going to talk about this later, about thoughts and feelings. So we create an experience or create a thought that brings relaxation into our life. It could be a simple thing like taking a walk in the park. Or it could be a simple thing like learning something new. Just a very, very small thing. Because the accretions within mind, it gets like sand or like a little drip of water. And it grows and wears or whatever happens, and it grows bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. And these thoughts that we collect and create a concept of life, grow larger and larger and larger. So if we're thinking a thought that's unhappy or bringing tension within our lives or creating confusion, or perhaps it's a thought of I'm going to get even, or I'm going to tell them off, or whatever expression that happens to be, that adds like another teaspoon of sugar in your coffee. In the end of your life, it might taste sweet right now because I got even. But at the end of life, as those things accumulate, then you have the fruition of what we've had actually created. And so every single thing that we think comes into reality, and it applies to all things, every single thing. If you want a big pile of money, or you want to have a loving relationship, or you want to have a creative expression of art or music or whatever it happens to be, it is the process of bringing that abstract quality of intelligence into finite reality and applying it to a basic principle. And so the uniqueness of being a student in the Kaplan philosophy is understanding how we integrate our mind and physical body and our energies in life to create something that is permanent, that it brings happiness and contentment and harmony. Naturally, we also recognize the fact that people are human beings, and this is not a rehearsal. We're just going through this our first time. So as we go through life, our imperfections will be part of the puzzle. And so the idea of thoughts being things, they are real, and they will manifest and create whatever we want to have in our life. Well, I haven't gone too long on that. And it's kind of fun to talk about. You know, we can go on with more examples of just the really basic things to create intelligent expression in our life that brings that contentment.
We're just going to put brunch off for an hour. Is that okay with everyone?
Okay. Julie, do you want to go?
You want to go.
Just carrying on from the previous question, and in the same way, we sometimes don't understand how tangible this is. It seems very abstract, and you know it's mental, and we don't really see the benefit of it. But actually, it is very real. If you we look around all the, like particularly in the city right now, you see all the construction and everything that's going on, you know, new bridges, 3,000-foot skyscrapers, or whatever it is man wants to achieve. He uses the mathematical principle in order to create that. And how does he do it? He does it with his mind. So he's going to build these buildings next door. You get the engineer out, and he decides, okay, this is how we're going to do it. You get the architect, and they design these buildings. The next thing you know, they're up, and they're constructed to last for 50 years or 100 years. In the same way, we're thinking all the time. We're drawing these thoughts to us. Our mind is like a magnet. And if we want something bad enough, we can attract it through our thinking. Because all we do is we start refining the process. We have a general idea, I want to be a movie star. Okay, or I want to be an engineer, whatever it happens to be. And you decide, well, can I do this? And you say, yes, I think I can. I've got to take a few courses, and I've got to meet the right people, and I've got to do this and that. So you start gradually refining the process, and next thing you know, you're an engineer. And in the same way, we don't take our thinking seriously enough. We think thoughts, we're motivated to think thoughts, really, from all different sources. We watch the news, next thing you know, we're afraid of something. You know, then you've got this issue or that issue or terrorism or whatever it happens to be. So we are constantly, to a greater deal, and it's to a great degree and on purpose, we live in a state of fear. Most people do. They're either feared for losing their job, or they're going to lose their home, or they're going to lose their family, or whatever's going to happen. They're going to have an accident. They're going to get unhealthy or have some disease or something. So this sort of thing is perpetrated all the time. It just keeps people on edge. They never really get a chance to think about life, what their reason for being is, and what they should be doing to enhance their life. So we have to be fully aware that that our mind is a creative power. It's like a magnet destroying these thoughts to us all the time. And we have to be careful of the outside influences or thoughts that are coming that we're not controlling, because we're not fully aware of our thinking. We're not controlling what's coming into our being. So as a result, it affects our health. It affects our balance of mind, and that just leads on to the next experience, because you know we understand the cyclic principle, and we know if our thinking isn't balanced and we're not thinking clearly or not thinking properly and in a balanced way, then guided by a universal principle which the philosophy teaches, then we're going to attract
situations in our future which are not going to be favorable.
It's actually very reassuring. The Kabbalah philosophy teaches self-responsibility, that if we look at our life and we're not happy about the point that we're at, or again, that we're not really, we know that we're not on the track we mean to be on. We can see that if we continue what we're doing, we're not going to have that fulfillment of our inner nature as we wish to see it. So we have then the opportunity to go back to the basics. What is our thinking like right now? What is restricting our progress? What is it that we've overlooked in our mental housekeeping or incorporating some of those positive qualities from 1 to 9 that hasn't allowed us to see the clarity in our lives that we would like to see? So we teach that principle, as we sow, so shall we reap, that we can then utilize the cycles, take a look at ourselves and think, you know, just as if even in the tape, Mr. Shering is saying that every thought resonates on our body like a hammer to a gong. Well, every thought we think is creating that health in the body to be that physical instrument that we can rely on to accomplish what we want in life. And then every thought is like a projection into our future. That's what life is going to be like. And even in the tape, he mentioned it's entirely possible to be grumpy or moody or whatever, and it's a lot like being in a classroom and being in the back row with our, you know, sunglasses down and our hat pulled low, that we're just sleeping through those opportunities to learn. If we approach a situation and we choose a reaction through feeling rather than make a choice of what we can learn from it, what are the opportunities, what is it that we can see in that situation that gives us an opportunity for growth, then we're missing all of that that the classroom in life is giving us. And it's easy to say that our thinking creates our life, but as the other panel members have mentioned, it's a huge realization to be able to look at that puzzle, as Evan mentioned, and be able to then step back and do the analysis of what of those puzzle pieces have we not quite dropped in. And staying happy is one of those first basics that will allow us to gain the most constructive essence from every experience we're going through in life.
Just another thing that's come to me when I was listening to Julie is that by virtue of the fact that we can only think one thing at a time, that means there's a process of choice. And the challenge in dealing with thinking and how it relates to our health is that we have issues in our lives that we have to deal with. And maybe we don't have any money, or we don't have, you know, any friends or whatever it is. Usually everybody has some, but I think they would like to have more. And to say, well, you know, I got here because I made certain choices. And it's impossible to deny that we did not make the choice, because you can only think one thought at a time. So we've had to have chosen that thought to get to that point. And to have the confidence that mind is resilient and it can go back down the path, just as if you're walking through the forest, you get a bit lost. You go back down the path, oh, this is where I made the wrong turn. I've got a bad attitude about whatever it happens to be, and make another choice. And takes us on a completely different track. We've all experienced situations where things looked pretty bleak, and you just get a phone call and it's changed. Or you find something, or you've lost something, and suddenly you find it. It comes back. You think, oh, well, gee, now everything's different. It's all different. So all the confusion that we had yesterday, or it could even be just like 2 minutes ago, is now gone. And so to make those choices, it's all about voting, about how we're going to create our life, basically. So it's an open process. And understanding the source and what constructive qualities are, we can bring those through experience into our life to express. We better keep going, otherwise we won't get through your points.
I really like the concept of that you learn in LIT about Bill, that 988 quality, and they project the concept of success, and they accept nothing less. And they don't look at failure. They look at where's my next opportunity and how am I going to create that. Their mind always stays focused on the big, large picture. And that's a challenge with us, is that if our mind is responding to our feelings, why can't we control those feelings and keep our eye on the ball? And, you know, those little irritations come up throughout the day and throughout our lives, and we feel justified, and it isn't right. We have to change our thinking, keep our eye on the ball, keep our eye on the big picture. And it brings us to the next question. What is man's spiritual purpose?
Sure.
It's Carrie's turn, I'm sure.
being put on the spot.
Oh.
No, I got it. That's okay. Okay, so what is man's spiritual purpose? Well, man is born to be an expression of consciousness, to be an expression of reason, to be an expression of truth and logic and wisdom and basically to free himself of self, of the negative planes of mind. This goes back to the previous question again, is that happiness, when you're drawing from a plane of mind of happiness, you're drawing from a plane of mind that is, you might say, elevated and above the physical plane. The planes of mind that you might say are mental pitfalls, mental traps in life, are relative to the emotions, to the physical plane. And as we've mentioned, that mind is a power. And the more and more people that concentrate on these planes of mind, whether it's maybe it's drug addiction, or maybe it's liquor, or maybe it's smoking, or maybe it's the even more subtle things like business and different things like that to an excessive degree, traps people's thinking in a certain direction of, you know, acquiring possessions, whatever it happens to be. But it takes them away from their true purpose in life, and that's to express their true reason of being, their spark within, the qualities of their mathematical makeup. And we're all slightly different, and we'll all express in a different way, just like big flower garden, and all sorts of different flowers are thrown into this garden. And our purpose is to learn a basic principle of life, a universal principle of life, and then become an expression of it. And there are many aspects to this, and I'll just let some of the others discuss it further.
Basically, to express intelligence. That's the purpose of humankind is to express intelligence. All things in life express intelligence to relative to their position in life. Now, on the instinctive plane, or perhaps the purpose of a tree or a shrub or a little flower or whatever, it expresses an intelligent quality. We are definitely not here to buy more stuff. The whole process would like us to accumulate more and more and more and more to basically feed the profit of those that want to accumulate more. But that is not our purpose. And as we go through life, we can find that actually more stuff kind of complicates the whole issue even more, because then we have to maintain it all and everything. We need certain things to live. It's important that we have sufficient to create a comfortable, refined environment, and we've got, you know, clean clothes to wear and that sort of thing. But really, the whole process is to learn about and express this intelligent quality of life, this intelligent reason behind life. And it's massive. It's huge. And it has many, 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 just unbelievable, infinite number of opportunities or different facets of expression. So each one of us doesn't have to do what anybody else is doing. We can do our own, create our own thing, create our own unique expression, as long as it's compliant with the laws of life. Otherwise, we're going to attract then a discord. So we need to become a completely free and open conduit for the expression of intelligence in life. And within that, then we accumulate a little reserve. It's like a retained earnings account, like Mr. Schering was talking about the accounting of life and assets and liability. Well, the residual, the retained earnings in life, is like our spiritual fruition. And that spiritual fruition is found in the satisfaction of knowing that we have done our best and that we have created an opportunity for that universal power to express during the time that we're here on the finite plane. And that, in turn, adds to the expression of intelligence in life. In fact, I was talking to a student of theology the other day, and there was a... She said, you know, there is this concept of the idea that God is a power, and it actually creates expression on the finite plane, and those expressions on the finite plane contribute to the expression of God. Amazing! I said, well, that's a very interesting idea. She said, it is a unique idea that is growing. And actually, she said, you know, I can see the logic in that. And we are actually participants in the expression of intelligence in life, because as we bring intelligence into expression in the finite plane, we are adding energy and power to those resources for other minds to find that intelligence and express it within their life. So our purpose is twofold: to look after ourselves and create a universal expression for ourselves, but also to contribute to those that come after us. So that intelligent resource is there for people to draw and have that expressed in their life as well. So it's just another little facet of the purpose of humankind.
We're going to continue right along and discuss the relationship between feeling and thinking.
Again, just a short quote from the small excerpt that we just listened to. Most people think according to how they feel, and we as Kepler-ian students need to feel according to how we think. And again, it's that ability to stay objective, to stay away from every reaction or element of self that can express as we run into any one of those myriad experiences in life, and that every situation, every thought we think, we have the opportunity to choose objectivity and a clarity of mind and thought, or a response colored with feeling and some element of self. I used to work in an office where we had a lot of people that answered the telephone, and they could be dealing with customers that were quite stressed. And sometimes that stress could be directed towards the person in the office taking that phone call. And so we watched a film where this humorist said that every time you're feeling stressed, what you should do is go stand up somewhere and just spin like a top for a few minutes, and your stress will reduce. And we watched this film, and everyone in the office thought, well, that's just silly. And they laughed through the film and whatever. But it was really interesting how that became one of the reminders that all the staff used with each other when they got off that phone call. And you know, for those experiences that we have in life where you just don't feel good. You feel that tension in your solar plexus. Perhaps that thought of irritability has gotten through, and you have felt that sort of flash or gong through your body, to use Mr. Schering's expression. And then how do you get back to be that happy, objective self? You have to choose to think rather to feel. And I always found it amusing how I could walk around the office and hear the staff say to someone, because they'd been able to eavesdrop on that call, and say, do you need to go spin in the middle of the office? And all of a sudden there would be this ripple of laughter that would go through, and they'd say, no, I'm fine. Maybe I'll just go get a cup of tea. But there was that recognition that it was important to get back to mental equilibrium, to be ready for that next customer, to just have that enjoyment and be able to have that happiness that we can maintain throughout our entire day.
Barking works too.
That's right.
I've tried that. That's very effective. Everything seems to kind of go back into perspective.
Yes, the key to be able to be constructive in our thinking at all times, which is more and more difficult all the time, especially in this day and age with so much media available, and they're doing the thinking, and we're doing the reacting. We're the puppets that are jumping around, responding to all this news, all this activity going on around us. But what we need to do is we've got to become more objective in our thinking. We're taught a basic principle of life. We have the mathematical principle to analyze things, the cycle we're in, the situation, when it came up, what type of people are involved, what are their mathematical makeups, is this a good opportunity for us, or is this a good person to get involved with in business or on a personal level and so on. In a relationship, for instance, a long-lasting relationship, you want to know all those things. So if you have that, have those tools at your disposal, then obviously you're going to make a better, more value, more logical decision. So the key is, I think, to be able to think with awareness, okay, and make our decisions based on awareness in an objective way, and then express with feeling. You know, life is colorful, and life, you know, we're supposed to be. You know, a lively expression, an expression of life. And so we don't want to be humdrum and drab, but at the same time, we want to make certain that we have, that we're in control of our thinking because of the obvious effects that it has in our lives.
When we were discussing this panel, it came up, Ken, you know, almost the thought of what's the use, you know, the swine flu is coming and there's going to be terror and war and depression and on it goes. I mean, goodness. And you think, can we make a difference? And then you start naming the names of the people in life that have made a huge difference and influence in history. And it behooves us all to keep objective and keep happy and keep perspective. So for the last question and as a wrap-up for the panel, what are some practical ways that we can change our thinking?
Well, so much of thinking is relative to the way that we look at things, our perspective. And so if we find that things are a little tense or perhaps there's a little confusion, just to do a simple thing like going for a walk in the park or doing something creative. It's just like we're walking along and we're going down a path and we see something on the ground or on the street. We've been taught to know that when we pick that up, oh, that's not of any value, and discard it. So as we're walking through life in the path of mind and thought and making all these choices and everything, we will, if we apply ourselves and become more aware, we're going to be able to understand when that's a good thought, or gee, I feel kind of moody today. That's not a really good thing. I don't want to be moody. And so make a different choice and do something else. And basically, one of the simplest things is just to change our perspective, the way that we look at things. You know, perhaps somebody said something to us. Well, maybe they meant something different than what I took it to be. I feel this way, but, well, I'm not the only person who feels about this idea or whatever it is. And so to read a book or learn something new, take every day as an opportunity to create a constructive experience so that when we come to the end of our day, we have some accomplishment towards our objectives. They can be like finite objectives of cleaning our environment or whatever it happens to be, or they can be more spiritual type of objectives of adding something in terms of allowing that power within life to express more freely. Reading our class material, thinking about things, just sitting and thinking about things, and just relating why we're doing this. Why am I doing this? One of the questions that my theology student had is that she said, you know, one student in my class said, I love Jesus. And the instructor asked this very probing question. And he said, why do you love Jesus? And she couldn't answer the question because she had never, ever thought about why. So as we go through life, we should be asking, why am I doing this? Why am I reading this? Why am I going here or eating this or whatever it happens to be? And if we can't think of a good reason of why we're doing it, then it's probably not a constructive thing to be doing or thinking. Just like today, we can think of a thousand reasons why we love our mother. And then when you've done those, you can think of a thousand more. But it's just a case of appreciating life and asking, you know, why we are doing this. And as a simple thing of changing our thinking, like just one thing, like, why am I doing this? If we can't think of a good reason why we're doing it, it's probably not a worthwhile thing to do. It's taking the time of the Spirit, and it's not adding value. So it's a little kind of think why, to just start to evaluate the way that we think and do things in life.
So we've talked also about aligning our activities to our cycles, and that's another way that whatever we are going through and experiences, we have the support of the cycle, that we're not working against it. That example that we always use of we're not trying to plant seeds in the winter, that we're actually working with the cycle and having that recognition of what qualities are expressing within that day, so that we even have an awareness of perhaps those days that we're a little bit more sensitive. We have that awareness that this is a day that we could be a little bit more blunt. We're going to have to be a bit more aware. But whatever it is, we're using the cycles as one of our tools to make sure that we have an ability to maintain a happy, stable nature. Also, we've discussed that it's important to have that ideal, that we have to really think back to that drawing that we always use of the principle of life, where we have that evolutionary arrow that we show our purpose as humankind to be evolving back and to look at our activities and our thoughts. Are they aligned with that? Are they not? But to have that ideal close enough and to be thinking about it often enough that there is that matching of our activities and our thoughts with what our true ideals are. And again, as the panel mentioned, there's so many distractions that can take us away from that. Name them. You know, there's thousands that could keep us just here at the table for that hour past brunch. And then again, if you think of that example of the spinning, which is a bit silly, but there is all that physical activity, like Evan mentioned. Is it that we go for a walk? Is it that we just start to sing? It is intellectually agreeable that we know that we should be happy. But some days and some moments, it can be very hard work to make the choice to go back to that happy state. And that's when we have to really reach into our knapsack and think, this isn't how I want to think. I want to relax solar plexus. So am I going to be creative, go for a walk? Am I going to read some philosophy? Am I going to just put on some happy music and dance while I do my housekeeping? Whatever it is to bring ourselves back to that happy, stable, contented mind, contented because we're actually working and progressing.
One thing we should mention before we leave is that is the importance of creating peace of mind. Happiness is a step in that direction, and the importance of it is to be able to elevate our thinking beyond the everyday challenges of life and remain happy and to try and establish this peace on a daily basis. Like Evan was mentioning about how you can only have one thought at a time, so it's really difficult to be negative and then be happy at the same time. Like we were saying earlier about thoughts being a mental energy, a mental power that can hold us in a pattern of thinking, and if they're negative and we're dwelling in those negative thoughts for an extended period of time, pretty soon we become negative and our health is affected, and it's a long struggle to get back out of that and to get our, you know, even to the point of committing suicide or something. So it's very important that we keep our thinking objective and positive. There's a sentence in one of the teacher's books about thoughts and things. And he mentions that every thought that interferes with creating peace is a mental interference. So that's something we need to be aware of, and you have to learn this through the teachings as to what exactly is a mental interference. Or we can sometimes find ourselves being happy about the misery of others. We're seeing, well, that's not true happiness, but we may think that at the time. So it's really important to understand our thinking and to know what the difference is between true happiness and a lot of the artificial happiness that you see in the world.
So that concludes the morning. Just as one final thought, Vancouver was going to open an integrated health place, and it was on West 10th. I don't recall the name, but I went to the opening lecture. And in the opening meeting or lecture introduction, they discussed the fact that once there is sickness, then a person has to change their thinking. And this morning, we hope that the panel has illustrated that we're developing a quality of thinking that's lifelong, that, you know, there's never the eventuality that we have to make the big change of, you know, turning left or right, that we're always working and on an objective of keeping happy thoughts so that we can create the constructive, happy life. And that concludes our panel for this morning.
Gentlemen, please don't go far. We hope you'll help us with our song in a moment. We have next weekend the official opening of Callaway Bay Resort, and many of us will be on the road at some point to go up and participate in that activity. And that means that the 5912 office will be open, will be closed, I should say, on Monday the 18th. Our next morning philosophy is the 24th of May, here, same time. And our next senior philosophy class is the evening of May 31st. There is also an opportunity.